Welcome back to Yang Daily. I'll be your host, Alex Cheney, bringing you all the Yang news you need to live your life right. This one is running super long, and we didn't even get to all the non-essential stuff, but I need to sleep, so let's get to it. Vanity Fair had an interview with Biden, which actually elicited a lot of good information from Biden on what he plans to do as president in terms of stimulus, education, climate change, economy, and more. It's far too much detail to go over in the podcast, so I'm just going to suggest reading it if you want to be more informed on Biden, which you should, since the upcoming election is enormously important, both for making sure Yang has a government to run in 2024 and otherwise. I would also advise that everyone look into Biden's policies on his website, but I would also suggest listening to the Moving Forward podcast's episode comparing the healthcare policy of Biden, which is far more progressive than I realized, with Trump's, which is, well, literally non-existent. It's pretty eye-opening, and those guys are always good for a laugh as well as information, even though they might offend your political sensibilities. The podcast hosts, that is, though Biden and Trump are probably equally as offensive and as good for a laugh. It's worth it, trust me. Give it a listen at the link below. People are finally starting to wake up to what we've been saying for weeks, as articles are now showing up saying that terminal deflation is a real threat and basic income is the way to stop it. And it's happening despite the Fed pumping about $1 million into the financial markets every second. As we discussed before, technological deflation, which is automation and globalization pushing down prices, both by achieving better margins and by reducing overall consumer buying power through layoffs, as well as the natural pooling of wealth at the top, has been putting constant and increasing deflationary pressure on our currency for a long time now. The Fed prefers to have slight inflation and has been pumping increasingly large amounts of money into the market every year to try and achieve that mark, and they have repeatedly fallen short. The crisis has put that trend on steroids. It all comes down to an evolving economy and the government failing to adapt. I won't pretend to be an expert on economics, but the gist is that when the government doesn't spend enough into the economy, the Fed has to try to make up for that by lowering interest rates to incentivize private debt. People have to get money from somewhere or deflation sets in. But the Fed cannot directly affect wages or employment, and growing private debt eventually leads to a collapse. Simply put, while it's become vogue to worry over the deficit, it's actually more deficit that is needed, not less. People forget that the government is not like a household budget, because a household obviously cannot create new money. The government can, because we are a fiat currency and a sovereign currency. It is not debt, because it is not being borrowed and it is not owed to anyone. It is simply new money being created. The Treasury sells bonds, which are thought of as government debt, but if ever anyone doesn't want to buy the bonds in the private market, the Fed buys them, and quite simply erases that debt. Bonds are nothing more than a mechanism for the Fed to manipulate interest rates on debt, as they provide an interest rate floor for the debt for the private market. But I've wandered off into the weeds. The point is, government spending is not a threat, it's actually necessary to maintain the economy, and all this messiness could be solved if the government used UBI as the mechanism for combating deflation, getting money directly into the hands of consumers, and pegged it to GDP so it would automatically grow with production, maintaining monetary balance, giving us a real free market, and massively improving people's lives to a degree it's hard to comprehend. As Scott Santon says, you really can't understand what an enormous relief it is to have financial security until you have it. All it takes for this to happen is for our representatives to step up, follow the data, and do what's best for everyone. But they don't understand all this yet, and they're too wrapped up in partisan tribalism to lead the country. It's up to us to knock them out of it and remind them of their nonpartisan duty. Meet Kevin on YouTube made a video covering one of the deflation articles, which reviews the deflation we're currently seeing, provides some historical context, debunks some myths around what causes inflation, and explains why inflation is not currently happening. If you prefer watching to reading, it's a worthwhile watch that may make for a good resource to refer people to when they think printing money always causes inflation. Check it out below. To add on, the New York Times reports that millions of dollars of unemployment insurance have been siphoned off by criminals who created UI claims for people still employed. Typical. An article by a restaurant owner provides clarity on just how screwed up the PPP loans are. Not only is it a nightmare to understand the legalese of how it works, Not only is it a nightmare to apply for and receive, but it mandates that closed businesses hire back their workers immediately upon receiving the loan, which, as discussed previously, might be worse for employees making more from UI, and the loans must be paid back in just 2 years, which is one-fifth of the usual time for a small business loan. Perhaps worst of all, the size of the loan isn't even clear because payroll can be calculated different ways and it doesn't specify which way it's calculated. That's only scratching the surface. If you want to know the full details of the madness, you'll have to read the article, but I think you get the picture. In some good news, the Pope, discouraged by the inept response of governments around the world, wrote a letter specifically calling for universal basic income. Those were his words this time. Unfortunately, that's all I can say, as the article covering it was behind a sophisticated paywall, and I wasn't able to find another. Still, we got the important part, and it's great to have confirmation that he is in the fight with us. And he's not the only one. Mark Cuban, who has been arguing against UBI and for a jobs program for weeks, has finally been convinced, by current events and the Yang Gang, that basic income is the best solution for the economy. This is a huge win. Mark is a major voice in economic circles as a well-respected entrepreneur and a star via Shark Tank. He is still pushing for a jobs program, but is now saying that the demand is the problem to be solved and that a two-month basic income of $1,000 every 2 weeks is needed. He's still got some hang-ups about it. He wants to force people to spend the money within 10 days of receipt, which would be very hard to enforce and almost certainly not worth the effort. He also said to households rather than individuals, which would be definitely not as good. Still, he's made excellent progress, and I'm sure we can bring him around the rest of the way. I appreciate his open-mindedness. It's a rare quality these days. Respect. Marianne Williamson also threw in with some UBI candidates. She released a list of endorsements, and both Mike Broihier and David Kim were on it. Moreover, while Heidi Briones was not on the list, Marianne seems to have endorsed her in a separate tweet saying, quote, "Heidi Briones is standing for the best of what's possible in this country, from healthcare to the economy. Oregon won. I hope you elect your first openly gay Oregonian congressperson. Hers is a voice that needs to be heard." End quote. I was very glad to see this addition. Personally, between Heidi's background, values, and policy, I think she's the perfect example of everything the Democratic Party should be. Grats to all three of you. And the good feels roll on as we got two new co-sponsors to Ryan's bill. Welcome Alcee Hastings and Philemon Vela to the ranks, bringing the total now to 39. Fred wrote a letter of his own to Congress arguing for a temporary UBI, explaining the situation truckers are facing and explaining why means testing is a bad idea. It's no new information, but it's a well-written piece from an unusual perspective and an integral member of the Yang Gang. And of course, the more articles, the merrier. Nice work, Fred. Yang dropped in with Chris Cuomo to talk messaging on the reopening of the economy, and Chris basically just schooled Yang and the Democrats on how they need to frame their argument, not as saying that lockdowns need to continue, but saying that we need to reopen the economy in the right way, the safe way, the way that is going to be effective, instead of just sending us right back into another lockdown. Cuomo told the Dems to stop letting Trump get away with simply saying we should reopen, and that Dems don't want to. Instead, start contrasting a detailed reopening plan of the Dems against Trump's lack of a plan. It's excellent advice that all Democrats should heed. Chris also said that Yang's appeal to critical thinking was what pulled him into Yang's campaign, and said that the Dems need more Yang and that gang. The more I hear from Chris, the more I like the guy. He's a smart cookie and a class act. Knee of the Curve had an episode with Scott Santons where they discussed Scott's history, how he got his basic income, how much of a difference that made in his life, the impact of the pandemic on the UBI movement, the increasing pace of automation, and so on. Notably, as already mentioned, he said that it's impossible to understand the difference a guaranteed income makes. He also said that in a future where the whole world has UBI, he thinks he would switch his focus to writing sci-fi novels. Sounds good to me. I only listened to what was in the episode. To listen to the entire hour-long interview, you must be a patron of Knee of the Curve. Nerds for Humanity hosted a discussion with himself, Heidi Briones, Mike Broihier, Jermaine Johnson, and Jonathan Herzog. Obviously an all-star team. It was 2 hours long, so I haven't been able to listen to it all, but it's certainly a good option if you have room in your audio schedule. Zach Grauman will be visiting the Zach and Matt show, ironically, this Wednesday at 1:30 p.m. Eastern. Matt will also be interviewing Bad Bunny, a rather toxic but popular Bernie supporter who has been quite hostile to Yang in the past. That will begin at 5 p.m. today, Monday. Drop into the live chat and do what you can to build some bridges, Yang Gang. Regardless of whether anyone else is being immature, we need to remember what's at stake here, leave the egos behind, and build a coalition to get UBI passed. Trust me, getting in a few digs now will be very cold comfort if it costs us our chance at a new age of prosperity. Eyes on the prize, gang. If you live in Pennsylvania, today, Monday, is your deadline to register to vote. If you haven't done so, get on it. Finally, Alan Wilkins has a sign-up for a Yang Gang virtual dance party, where the gang can get together on video and share dance moves for funsies. If you're feeling the rhythm and feeling the rhyme, sign on up, because it's dance-off time. And that'll do it for today's Yang Daily. Check out Biden's policies and the Moving Forward Healthcare episode. Bookmark the deflation article and video. Give Cuban, the Pope, Marianne, and our co-sponsors some positive feedback. Sign up for the dance party. Register to vote. Visit bailoutthepeople.com and take action. Call the Congressional Switchboard to send the most effective message you can to your representatives. Help recruit burners and others to the cause and get everyone to sign the petition and join the UBI movement. Flood Congress and Trump with calls, tweets, and letters, but particularly 5 calls a day, using the ResistBot or Income Movement as easy contacts below. If you need help, consult Humanity Forward, the Income Movement Aid Database, United Way, or the H3 podcast thread. And don't forget to Yang Daily.